Hey, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Brendan, and yeah, I was probably Dipper when I was growing up.
I'm Pippin, and I'm the evil twin.
Ooh.
I'm Alex. In hey, ode K.
I don't get that. Okay. And I'm Kat. I am a cryptid.
That scans.
Yeah. Legit. No one's going to fight that.
Yeah. I mean, has anyone ever actually seen Kat?
That's a good question.
I'm just putting that out there.
How many people have seen me and Kat in the same room?
Ooh, I mean. How many people have seen Kat and Bigfoot in the same room?
Excellent question.
Ooh, better question.
I'm not saying I am Mothman. I'm not saying I'm not, though.
Welcome to our moth story.
For the next hour, we're just going to name off cryptids that Kat is. She's all of them.
The Jersey Spoiler Devil. Alert. I'm a chupacabra.
You know what really gets my goat? A chupacabra. Anyway.
So with all this talk of cryptids, today we're talking about an episode of the Disney cartoon series Gravity Falls, titled The Time Traveler's Pig. So spoilers abound for that episode, and specifically for Gravity Falls in general. And if you want specific content warnings about the things we might talk about, check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com. Now, who selected the episode here,
I believe Alex and I said, let's do Gravity Falls, and Kat went, Time Traveler's Pig.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Time Traveler's Pig.
And why was it your choice, guys?
Well, you may have noticed, Bren, but Pip and I
are twins.
Yeah. We're twins.
Fraternal twins.
I know.
Whoa, what?
What?
Yeah. Oh, and it was your birthday this week.
Yeah.
Right.
As of this recording. As of the airing this month.
Birthday month. Yes. Yeah.
I picked the Time Traveler's Pig because it's a good introductory episode. Well, you should obviously start from the beginning because this is a very serialized story. However, if you just want to follow along with what we're doing, it's a good showcase of the weirdness of the show. It's a contained story. It shows twins working together, and it's got a pig.
Of course.
The reason that Alex and I particularly love Gravity Falls is it's because it is the most accurate representation of twins we've ever seen in fiction.
Yeah, like, because it either goes into weird twin powers or they hate each other for some weird reason.
Yeah, the way that we can hurt each other's feelings are very specific to us.
No one understands.
Well, but the show does.
The show understands.
We can go into a shouting, tear-filled fight and then half an hour having tea with each other.
If I hurt Brenner Kat's feelings, I'm like, eh. If I hurt Alex's feelings, I feel really bad.
Same.
It's that twin bond.
Yeah.
I've never seen you guys have a knockdown, drag-out fight.
Because we don't do it in front of you. You don't need to see that.
Whereas I think that you've seen, like, me and Brendan, like, go at it like cats and dogs, possibly on this show.
Alex and I need to create a united front against the terrors of older siblings.
Yeah. That's scams. That's scams.
So, all talk of twins aside,
we've been talking about Gravity Falls and why we love it for a while. How about somebody tell the people at home who maybe haven't seen it what Gravity Falls is?
Oh, I got you, Pip. I got you, fam.
Thanks.
That is the summary.
So the summary for Gravity Falls. That's succinct. So according to Google, it's twins, Dipper and Mabel Pines, are sent to spend the summer with their great uncle, Grunkle Stan, in the mysterious town of Gravity Falls, Oregon. Grunkle Stan has the kids help him run the Mystery Shack, the tourist trap that he owns. The twins try to adapt to the weird surroundings, but sense that there is something strange about Gravity Falls and begin to unlock its secrets.
This is Gravity Falls. I've been heard it described as baby's first introduction to the Illuminati.
Fair.
It's like a Twin Peaks for kids.
Yeah. All right. So the episode we're going to be talking about specifically.
Yes, it's the Time Traveler's Pig, and it's a pretty simple description here.
That's not the description for Time Traveler's Pig.
Oh shit! Oh. Pig,
you had one job.
It's okay, Pep. I still believe in you.
Okay, but in my defense,
in my own defense,
I wasn't
John.
Looking. Google says the Time Traveler's Pig. And underneath it has that description.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
Well, because I read the first description sentence, like, I guess it's kind of a party.
Oh, my God.
And then I read tries to impress Wendy, and I'm like, yeah, he tries to do that, too.
That's every episode, Pippin.
That's like season one in a nutshell.
It really is. Google. Oh, Google.
We're doing really well, everybody. We're doing really good tonight.
Do we keep this in?
Well, you've said it now.
Wait. Okay, according to IMDb, let me put it in there.
Okay. So the episode, as we said before, is the Time Traveler's Pig, and the summary for that, according to IMDb, is Dipper ruins a chance to impress Wendy at a fair, forcing him to use a time machine to travel back in time and stop it from happening. Which, I mean, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Also, yeah, that is pretty much the same description and as the last one.
So, I think we need to do a rundown of characters, because otherwise, who the fuck's
yes,
Wendy?
Yes, so we already mentioned Dipper and Mabel,
yep.
They're twins.
Yep. Mabel is amazing.
Mabel's the best.
Dipper. Dipper tries.
Dipper's
the straight man of the...
You know, a preteen boy.
He's the protagonist.
Yeah.
Which is kind of unfair because Mabel is also the protagonist, but...
Mabel's the protagonist of her own story, and her story isn't one... Like, it has cryptids, but that's not the point of it. You know, yeah. Her story...
It's like, let's have fun with cryptids, yay!
All the cryptids I've loved before!
Yeah.
No, Mabel's story is all the cryptids I've loved before.
I mean, I think it's a fascinating journey into, technically they're both main characters, but the reason why we associate Dipper as being the main character is because he's the one who's going on, theoretically, a journey. He's, you know, discovered a mystery or whatever. Mabel's doing the exact mm-hmm. same thing, but her focus is completely different, and that's okay. Though, don't get me wrong, yeah. I would love to see her version of events. But it wouldn't be as directed or as focused. It wouldn't be a story for the audience to follow along with.
Yeah. What's interesting about their dynamic is that they're twins, yet they're at that age where they're kind of like the coming of age. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so Dipper is actually a bit more emotionally, yeah, kind of going to that transitional period in life and is awkward as hell. Mabel is still trying to struggle and maintain that kind of youthfulness,
right? I don't know
about
that, because remember, there's Mermando.
Well, yes, but...
I believe what it is Dipper is trying desperately to grow up, and yes, Mabel yes. is trying desperately to still be a child.
Mm.
That's the point I was trying to make. Thank you, yeah. Pippin.
But she's also boy crazy.
But her definition of child also includes love and whatnot.
But it's also one of those twin things where... suddenly, you're starting to find your interests are not intersecting anymore.
Yeah, that's not
fun.
That's
a big one, I think. And that's part of what they're discovering during the summer vacation, is the way their interests are differing. Which puts a really nice characterization spin on the overall plot. But wait, what's one of the ways that they're diverging, Brendan?
Well, I guess in the main thing that they're diverging on is that, you know... Dipper is noticing a certain someone, right? And in this case, in the first season, it's Wendy.
An older woman.
And I don't remember her last name.
Corduroy, I think.
Yeah, Wendy Corduroy.
Of course.
She's like 16, and Dipper and Mabel. Oh, Dipper and Mabel, yeah. Because this is a Disney cartoon, are like, what, 11?
12.
They're 12 going on 13.
They're about to become teens.
There's that entire episode where Tipper pretends to be 13, technically a teen.
Oh, that's right. Is that the one with the ghosts who specifically are out to get teenagers? Yep. Obviously.
And this is, again, playing into their weird transition into
adulthood.
Yeah. A kid's version of adulthood, which is teenagerhood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dipper's trying to figure shit out.
Well, he's trying to figure the mysteries out, but he's also awkwardly growing up.
Awkwardly growing up.
That's, yeah.
But could the mysteries be a metaphor for growing
up?
What?
Gasp. But yeah, Wendy, you know, she's, yeah, I guess, I don't really know how to describe
she's
her.
She's a redhead.
She's the cool kid.
Cool.
Yeah, the cool kid.
She wears flannel, and she's chill, and I'm in love with her.
And she has an axe. Underneath that plaid shirt is a wolf tank top.
Yeah, she's cool.
And then there's Grunkle Stan. Grunkle Stan is a,
con artist?
He's the
con artist, grifter. Other adjective for...
Who's the guy who's famous for, you know, This Way to the Egress? Barnum?
P.T. Barnum?
Yeah.
Was it P.T. Barnum? I don't know. Sure.
Sucker's Born Every Minute?
Yeah, he's the poor man's version of that.
But also, you know, less exploitative.
Mm.
And he forces his nephew into a weird herd wolf costume.
Yay.
Yeah. Good times.
Let's see. There's also Seuss.
Seuss, the handyman. Seuss. Very sweet boy.
It's very much a found family sort of situation, while also still having real family.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a lot of fun. The whole series is lovely. It's a very contained series. I think it's only two seasons.
Two seasons, yeah.
Covering the length of...
A summer.
Yeah.
This transition period where they solve the mysteries, they become teenagers or what have you, and fight a big bad. And it's great. I would highly recommend it to the audience.
It should have won a Hugo.
Should have won a Hugo. Yeah.
The sock opera should have won a Hugo.
but focus.
Yeah.
Focus. So the episode in particular, yeah. On its surface, it's a pretty straightforward episode that involves time travel.
Obviously.
Our second one of the month, by the way.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah. I think that was the other reason why we decided on this episode.
Yeah. The basic part of it is that Dipper managed to go to this fair with Wendy. Huzzah for him, I suppose. Over the course of activities at the fair, manages to get her...
He gives her a black eye. Because a ball rebounds and hits her in the eye, not because he did something.
Yes.
Yes.
And
correct.
In doing that, he believes he has created a circumstance whereby his rival, who is actually Wendy's age, can then ask Wendy out, thereby cutting Dipper out of the picture.
Yep. And while this is happening, Mabel meets Waddles.
The most important character in all of Gravity Falls, Waddles, is a pig.
And is adorable.
It's like an old 18-pounder.
15-pounder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Old 15-pounder. Guess his weight and...
15-poundy.
Yep. Is he 15 pounds?
Ah, you a witch?
And then cue the background gag of them trying to come and burn her.
And why is he called Waddles?
Because he waddles.
Waddles then becomes a character for the rest of the series, just in case you're worried that something's going to happen to Waddles. This is not a John Wick situation. Waddles
Thank
survives.
Goodness.
Oh man, that would be a weird crossover.
Oh my god, no.
No.
After these events transpire, Dipper and Mabel manage to crash into a time traveler.
As you do.
Yeah. And he was sent back there because, hey, a whole lot of temporal anomalies started at this fair for some reason. I can't imagine what's going to happen.
Hmm.
I also want to point out that the time traveler's name was Blendin Blandin, which is, I feel, a joke I did not appreciate the first time I watched the series.
Oh, yep. But remember when we were talking about Bill and Ted, we were talking about the beginnings of cycles, the beginnings of a recursive time loop. This episode is the beginning of a time loop.
Yep.
What?
Or is it?
Ooh.
Crazy talk.
Well, yeah, because he had to go back in time to fix the time anomalies, but they hadn't started yet.
But he was the cause of them.
So his time traveling device is not a...
Well, to figure out if this is the start of the cycle, you watch the previous episodes and see if you can see him in the background.
Uh-oh. Have we done that?
I haven't.
He is in the previous episodes.
Damn
it! Al has watched them.
So this is, again, we're once again not in the beginning of a cycle. Damn it.
Nope. Uh-huh. Now, what, of course, happens is that Dipper and Mabel manage to get their hands on the time travel device.
They very easily tricked him.
Oh, yes. And decide Dipper wants to go back and try to undo his, I'm using air quotes here, mistake.
Mm.
And Mabel wants to go back to relive the best moment of her life of getting Waddles.
Waddles. Yay.
I mean, she's pretty happy as is. She's really there to assist her brother. If she to relive getting Waddles, that's pretty great.
It's great.
Well,
yeah.
She said that she'd support him anyway. I literally watched the episode this morning.
Do it.
That she'd support him. But she straight up said that she's going to relive the best moment of her life getting Waddles.
Coincidentally, yes.
Yeah.
And so they go back, and time being the way it is, no matter what Dipper does, the same circumstance still happens. Wendy ends up agreeing to a date with the rival.
Cue a hilarious montage of failed attempts.
Yes.
All ending with Wendy getting hit in the face with a ball.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the background, you have Mabel continually getting Waddles and being happy. Huzzah.
Waddles.
Over the course of the little time loop happening here, Dipper does the math somehow and figures out that the only way to prevent Wendy from getting hit by the ball is with Mabel's assistance. And so they do that. They succeed. However, it comes at a grave cost.
Dun, dun, dun.
Waddles.
Mabel's rival Pacifica gets Waddles instead. Ooh.
Ooh, dueling rivals. I just realized that.
Yeah, and so for Mabel, this is the darkest timeline. And Dipper is reluctant to go back because he is pretty much convinced, and maybe he's right. He did the math. He did the math, people.
And I trust a 12-year-old's math.
Did you see the math on that board?
Yeah, it was math, Pip.
I mean, to be fair, how would I know?
It was written in markers on glass. That's how you know.
That's the highest math.
Maths. So Dipper is refusing to go back because this is the only timeline where he prevents Wendy from dating Robbie.
And he's all like, oh, Mabel, you won't even remember this heartache in a day.
But they do some fighting first, though. There's like a lot of time jumps.
They have to make the time anomalies.
Yep. A whole bunch. They drop like calculators and shoes back in ancient times. It's great.
They teach people how to high five.
Yes.
Yeah, they taught pioneers how to high five.
And by they, I mean Mabel did, because Mabel has a sense of fun.
Yes. They eventually, after all those time shenanigans, make it back to the timeline that Dipper created. Yeah, Dipper has control of the time machine at this point and is like, why? You won't even remember this stuff in a day, because he's convinced that it's just like any other thing that Mabel gets distracted with.
So he goes forward a day, and when he leaves, Mabel is hitting her head against a totem pole, because of course there's one at a tourist attraction.
Of course.
Just going, Waddles. And then he goes forward a day, and she's still there, just going, Waddles, and thumping her head.
Thump.
He goes forward a week. She's still there. Goes forward a month. She's still there, dirty and ragged, plants growing on her. And Seuss is leading a tour group by going, and here we see miserable Mabel. She's been here ever since her heart was broken by a terrible person. Hey, Dipper.
I love good screenwriting like that.
And that's when Dipper realizes, oh no, this isn't, you know, a heartbreak that's going to go away. He actually hurt his twin's feelings.
Dun, dun, dun.
And at that point, he goes and restores the timeline back to its original.
And we get Waddles.
Waddles.
Waddles. And the time cops catch Blendon Blandon.
And blame him for the issue, and then we get to meet Time Baby, and whatever.
To be fair, it was his fault.
It really was.
Mm-hmm.
He's bad at his job.
So true.
Very.
But yeah, that was the episode, and yeah, it's a very self-contained episode.
It's a good introduction to the characters.
Yeah, and
it has Waddles.
Yes, Pip, Al, you mentioned the twin dynamic. Can you speak on that as far as how they interchanged here in the episode?
Good
job.
Well, I love you, and I will do anything for you. Up until I think my way is better. But if it's actually going to hurt your feelings, we can do your way instead.
Yeah.
And if I were going to destroy a timeline, I'd want to do it with you.
Aww. Yeah. Though, Pip, I don't think either of us are good enough at math to figure out where the needed...
I think variable. Both of us would have looked at the time travel device and went, "Phew, this is beyond us."
Or at least figured out what a way of can we just preload your winning models and then...
I feel like you guys would have been like, why are we doing any of this? Let's go see Shakespeare.
Yeah. Actually, why didn't they just set up a Dipper's trick like, in the morning?
A week earlier?
Yeah.
What?
And not do it then.
Why didn't they pull a Bill and Ted?
Yeah.
They are 12.
Yeah. Bill and Ted, though, were Bill and Ted.
Yeah, dude.
So, yeah, I thought it was kind of a nice episode.
But no, if you really want an episode that broke my heart and nearly made me cry from all the terrible twin feels.
Sock opera?
Like I mentioned before, sock opera.
Oh.
Which is very heavily lore-based for the series, so it's not something you just go in and watch.
And probably why we didn't do it for this episode.
No, and we shouldn't have. But everyone should watch the series to get to sock opera.
And bask in its glory.
And bask in its glory, because the hurt feelings going around in that episode was one where I, like, after I watched it, I was almost crying. And I texted Alex and went, I'm so sorry for everything I did.
And you did so much.
Fuck you, you don't know.
All right, Kat, do you have any thoughts on the episode?
You know, I recommended it because it's a strong episode to... If you had to pick one out of series, part of the reason I wanted to bring out a series is because it's a very different kind of writing. It's something you can build up on. It requires knowledge of the inside lore of the series. You can do some really cool things with that. You know, this episode in particular, I think is I think it's just really solid. It's self-contained. I mentioned this already. It's self-contained. You know, if you were I'm not sure if it's the episode I would pick necessarily to convince someone else to watch the show.
Yeah.
I would probably pick the, fan vid someone did to Gravity Falls, on the subject.
Counting Stars.
Yep. To the song Counting Stars, which we will link in the show notes.
Oh shit, that's a great.
It's what convinced me to watch the show.
I know. I showed it to you.
Yeah. And it's very much a, cause for me, I really like the cryptid. I was an old I was a baby X-Files fan. So I really like the inner story stuff. Okay. Anyway, the truth is out there and maybe it's in Gravity Falls.
Everything is different now.
I don't really have a lot to say about the episode per se that I haven't already mentioned. But I do think it's important to think about different mediums of fiction or storytelling or what have you, just so you can pick up a few extra tricks for your own toolbox.
Gravity Falls was also only 2 seasons and designed to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't canceled. It ended because the story was done.
Perfection, man.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a bunch of little
mini shows, shorts.
Web shorts, which I absolutely love. We have Mabel's various, like, if Mabel had a YouTube channel.
Mabel's Guide to Everything. They're
great. They're so good. Seuss doing, like, the MS Paint version of YouTube. And then Dipper trying to be like, I have a very serious show about the mysteries of Gravity Falls. Please contact me.
And also, man. Gravity Falls public access television.
Yeah, he's very public access. Mabel's very YouTube, and then Seuss. Seuss is like, this is what I made on my computer. Everybody gather around.
Dipper's shorts are some of the things that have legitimately frightened me.
Really?
Because one of them has the hide behind.
Oh yeah.
And another one has the tooth.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And there's no other context around it of how it gets solved or how to avoid it or defeating it or anything. And Mabel's not there to make me feel better.
Oh.
So actually on that subject, Kat, as our resident folklorist.
Yes.
In the series, how well does it treat American folklore?
I mean, the upside is it does bring up several of the popular, you know, Americana type things. But mm-hmm. one of the reasons why I like Gravity Falls is that it's very much...
its own thing.
It's very much... It's a pastiche.
Yeah. Yeah, satire, that's what I was getting at.
It's not copy. It's a pastiche of Americana. So there's, you know, I think there's Bat Boy is one of the bits of art that flies past in the opening credits, mm-hmm. which is a very American cryptid. But on the other hand, it also has a lot of its own thing, like the weird gnomes. Actually, the big thing, Gravity Falls is famous for including weird cryptograms that you can actually solve. Puzzles. It has the Illuminati eye as a villain.
Yes, it does. Ah, Bill.
Yeah. It's very, it introduced a level of weird and weird America to children, which I think is just really cool. You know, there are those weirdo kids out there. Lord knows I was one of them. You know, they're not quite old enough for, you know, the equivalent of, you know, Twin Peaks or X-Files, but they are the kind of kids that are going to go around and, you know, do animal sacrifices with their Barbie dolls.
or more tame, read scary stories to read in the dark.
Oh, God. Yeah. or go out camping and specifically, you know, leave piles of stones as a secret message to other campers. Or find piles of stones. You know, it's...
This makes me wonder what you did as a child.
So anyway...
How many Karens have you made, Kat?
Anyway...
that shiny change of subject, huh?
You know, I just occurred to me.
What?
The connection between Gravity Falls and American Gods.
Okay.
Stick with me. Because Gravity Falls features a kitschy tourist stop.
Yep.
American Gods.
By Neil Gaiman.
The book, one of the major locations is a kitschy tourist trap, which is like the exact center of America or something. I read American Gods ages ago, and I remember very little about it. But it's sort of that idea of Americana, an America that is the weird things that we treat as important. And the things that we sort of build and things around, and how that becomes its own sort of folklore.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, one of the things that the what's the place, what's Grunkle Stan's store called?
The Mystery Shack.
So,
and the S falls off.
And it's the Mystery Hack. It calls to mind the weird Americana type things, like, you know, World's Biggest Ball of Yarn, or or Foam Henge.
Yeah, which is where the American Gods, it was literally kitschy tourist trap.
Yeah.
The exact center of America.
But it's...
Or the weird frog place.
Oh, yes. The Frog Museum.
Have you guys ever been to, like, one of those predominant kitschy American stops?
I have.
I mean, I've been to the Big Texan. Does that count?
I drove by one. That's all I ever done.
Yeah. I think it's because there's just so much space in America.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what are we going to fill it with? Monsters and tourist traps.
Huzzah!
I mean, one of my favorite Tumblr tropes, if you will, is people who are not from America, or even people who are not from flyover states, you know, East Coast or West Coast people, being made aware of the weird shit in the middle of the country. Like a giant very billboard weird that just says, hell is here.
Is that in Ohio?
I don't remember. No, I think it's Kansas. It's somewhere.
Is it Kansas?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's that kind of thing. And just people realizing, holy shit, you know, there's a reason why Southern Gothic is a genre. And this is baby Gothic.
This is a Disney Channel turn.
Yeah. Because that's very much a style and a genre that is something humans evidently enjoy. And sometimes humans are children.
True.
What?
I mean, cool, if you insist.
All right. So do we have any other thoughts about the episode itself?
I just want to say that early on in the episode, Mabel says something along the lines of, I'm always right. And at which point I wrote in my notes, maybe I really am Mabel.
I actually, I tried to talk to Alex about this, and he's like, I don't know about this. And I'm like, no, Pip's Mabel. Shh.
I don't have Mabel's unending confidence or her love of rainbows.
I never see Mabel as confident. I'm surprised.
She puts off confidence.
See, here's the thing. You do that for me.
And I would kick a unicorn's ass.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's also surreal humor, which is fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a particular, I think, millennial slash...
thing.
Like, what's the next one after millennial?
I think it's Z.
It's that particular formula of humor as well.
Okay. So if we don't have anything else about the episode... let's go into, things we'd change. It could be about the series. It could be about the episode itself. I mean, go nuts, guys.
Actually, one of the things I think I'd like to do differently with this mm-hmm. particular formula, or with our formula as a podcast is I think I'd like to steal something.
Okay. Ooh. Go for it.
Because this is, as I mentioned, this is, you know, a really good series, a really good show, and so on. I would like to steal and write my own kid Illuminati cryptid thing. Because there hasn't been a replacement yet. There's been surreal stuff. There's a new show called The Harvey Street Kids, which if you are missing the surreal oddness of Gravity Falls, I would suggest watching that. But I would like to do... I think that there's a... level of humor and engagement, I think, is something I would definitely like to take and turn into a new series.
Okay. Can you give me a quick, just off the top of your head, pitch?
No.
Would it be set at, like, a tourist trap kind of thing, like Gravity Falls? Or?
I'm hesitant to use the tourist trap again, just because that was too fun. However, you know what I would, I think I would really like to have, let's do a family that owns a gas station. Like the last gas mm-hmm. station, like through Kansas.
In Idaho.
Yeah, something like that. Like in one of those places that's incredibly flat, like disturbingly flat. And the story could be about, you know, not only the people who are living in this thing, and running this gas station, but also the people who come through. Like, what are the kinds of people who drive through this place? And I think maybe as a B-plot, I would like but the underlying lore of the show is if there is a grain silo in the distance.
Hmm.
And it is a mysterious grain silo. Maybe at night there are strange lights above it. Nobody quite knows who it belongs to. It's a little bit too far to bike to comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a continual mystery, and I think more things should develop around that. Meanwhile, and that's the kids, and meanwhile the parents are considering expanding from just a gas station and, you know, this is the last stop before, and expanding to their own special attraction. Like, and so they're trying to figure out what this special attraction is. And if it could tie into the grain silo of mystery, that'd be really cool.
My recommendation, if you go with that, mm-hmm. I think it should have an attached small motel / restaurant with it.
Ooh. I like the idea of a restaurant, and an RV area.
Yeah. There you go. Some place so you could have overnight encounters with guests.
Yes. I really, really like the Gravity Falls, just this is the course of a summer, because it gets you out of mm-hmm. the school thing, and it also creates a defined time period. So
keep things contained.
Exactly. And so I would really love it if bouncing off of what you said with the RV overnight park type thing mm-hmm. is if it's the beginning of summer and the kids who live there know that this one particular family comes through every year. This is the one time they get to see their friends. And that's them arriving is the start of this.
Ah.
Hmm.
Cool.
And technically they're supposed to leave after a couple of days, but then shit goes down.
Oh, their car breaks down.
Yeah. You know what this is? I realized just as I was talking, yes, definitely their car breaks down and where's the nearest mechanic? God knows. I was realizing as I was talking, another show that fits into this Gravity Falls mode to a certain degree is Stranger Things.
Mm. I was thinking about Stranger Things, but because I've never watched it, because it's not Pip and Safe.
It's not Pip and Safe.
I didn't. Yeah, no. Ashley texted me and went, you're never allowed to watch this.
No, it's
not fair. Unless it's full daylight and I am there with you. And even then, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, you don't think Pippin can handle the Demogorgon?
No, friends. No.
I mean, maybe if we get her really smashed and it's daylight and...
The daylight is really important.
And we just fast forward to the parts with Eggo waffles. We're fine. We're fine.
Yeah. But,
I mean, so if you think about, you know, the kids of Gravity Falls are having this cryptodelicious time with a conspiracy. The same thing is happening in Stranger Things. I think I'd like the sweet spot between Gravity Falls and Stranger Things. That's what I'd like. But I really want that middle America because I hate how flat it is out there. I get seasick because there's no points of reference for me. And I'd like to delve into that.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Pip, Al, any thoughts for Kat there?
It is super flat.
But the characters won't be. Da-dun-dun-dun.
Hey. And seeing the telephone poles.
Oh, shit.
That shit gets eerie.
It does. It does.
Being able to see storms in the distance.
Yes. And have you seen those amazing art photographs of just gas stations in the middle of nowhere and there's still a phone booth?
Is there a phone booth in your story here?
Of course there's a fucking phone booth. And you know what's great? It doesn't technically work, or does it? They pick up the phone and they keep hearing clicks on it. Yeah.
Oh, like one of those repeater stations. Nice.
Uh-huh. Or somebody's tapping it. But who's listening? Who's speaking?
I don't like this.
And one time you pick it up and goes, and there's a voice that goes, 7, 4, 8, 22. And
meanwhile, a car drives up, sees that you're in the phone booth, and rushes off again.
You guys, this took a turn.
Well, Pip, how about you bring us around and give us something?
Oh, gosh. Man, Kat got so cool and deep. I was just thinking about how I don't actually like the Wendy and Dipper thing.
Legit.
Yeah.
But that's a legit part about being awkward and growing up.
I know.
But it's also very, what's the word I'm looking
for? Dragged out?
That, and also, it's a very...
Nice guy creepy?
Yeah.
Ah, it's fair.
Very common.
Yeah, like, trope. The fact that it's such a common trope, I'm like, oh, it's creepy and uncomfortable.
And there's no way it can work out, because if she did reciprocate, that's beyond illegal.
Yeah. And like, but it's just uncomfortable to watch.
Well,
maybe if Wendy were a boy, and he was figuring that shit out, that'd be new and different. Trying to figure out those feelings.
Still not getting together, because still creepy.
Still not getting together, but at least it's a new and different kind of awkward and terrible.
Much like Mabel and a mermaid.
Mermando.
which is a whole different kettle of fish. Shape of Water, 2017.
Did he purposely use the idiom kettle of fish?
What?
Kettle of fish about Mermando.
I didn't. But Pip, let's say you wanted to take a lesson learned from Gravity Falls. What would you take to apply elsewhere? Aside from, don't do creepy shit like that.
Well, don't do creepy shit like that. Like, a lesson of the story I'd take into real life? Or of the story that I'd take into other stories?
Other stories.
Okay. All right. I mean, I cannot understate how perfect the twin dynamic is.
Overstate, understate.
I cannot say enough about how good. See, this is a writing trick where if you're not sure what one term means or if you're messing up your sentence, come up with a new one.
You cannot stating state.
I cannot stating state.
Recast your sentence.
Yeah.
What?
How amazing the twin relationship is. To the point where all other twin relationships and stories, and even a lot of sibling relationships in general, I watch and go, oh, huh.
Mm-hmm.
Either there are too many only children in the writing room, or you had some strange relationship with your siblings, or maybe I had strange relationships with my siblings. So there's that. Just, man, that's a great relationship.
So basically, in a nutshell, you just want to kind of bottle up that twin dynamic and capitalize on that for other stories.
Yeah, and also more characters like Mabel in general.
Yes.
I mean,
oh, a hope punk personified?
Yeah. Some people are just happy. I'm sorry.
Right?
And the very first episode of Gravity Falls, the twins are allowed to pick anything they want out of the gift shop. And Dipper goes for his iconic hat. And Grunkle Stan is like trying to steer her towards, you know, the more cute girl stuff. And she happens to find a grappling hook.
Obviously.
And she's like, grappling hook. And they're like, wait, no. And she's like, it was in the gift shop. And he's like, it was.
And, so and doesn't that grappling hook get like the most use out of anything in the series?
Oh, yeah. That is Chekhov's grappling hook.
Oh, yeah.
It hardly stays on the mantelpiece, to be honest.
Yeah. Mabel is a girl who knows what she wants, mm-hmm. even if what she wants may vary from moment to moment.
Yep.
She has love in her heart for her twin and her family, and she believes that peoples can be saved.
Yes. I love Mabel. I think that I agree, Pip, you should have more Mabels in this world. Yeah. And in fiction.
Yeah. I was thinking about comparing Gravity Falls to Supernatural. And I was like Dipper goes on to Sam pretty well. I mean, they're both nerds. It's like, but Mabel and Dean don't really map together. But Mabel would be way better. Let's put it.
Well,
Mabel and possibly like season one Dean.
Ugh, Dean.
All right, so that's you.
Yeah, less creepy, being creepy about to older women and more Mabel.
All right.
Always more Mabel. And more Waddles.
Waddles.
See, the unfortunate thing that I kind of am running into is that, Pip, you just did a double and you stole what I was thinking about because I love Mabel. Because you know what? Yeah, cheerful character. So just give me a second and I'll come back fresh here.
How
in a second.
Hey, Alex.
Kind of like a differing opinion because I actually think Gravity Falls could have gone for at least one more season.
Ooh.
Right.
Well,
like the next, like 5 years later type thing, or?
Well, no, like, season two had a first half and a second half.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of those times, a lot of those things in the second half felt kind of rushed.
Oh.
Because a big event in the mill, a few getting to know new status quo episodes, and then straight off into the three-part finale.
Okay.
So saying these things without spoilers is kind of...
Well, yeah, kind of difficult. But there's like a pretty big finale part of that season.
It's a three-episode finale in a 22-episode season.
So I guess your idea is to take that and make that into like its own standalone season?
Yeah, and also like In season two, at the start of season two, they get deep into the mystery.
I do like standalone episodes a lot more.
Yeah.
So are you thinking that the episode that has the most amazing image of Mabel ever, without spoiling it, but hopefully you know what I'm thinking of, is like the season finale?
Yep.
And then the next season is the fallout from that?
Yes.
Most amazing image of Mabel ever.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys really need to read the comic book because there's a Mabel centric one in there.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyway, and then the fallout for that being the next season.
Yeah, and like we can actually get to know the new status quo, get to.
Good call. I would see that.
And also, now that Dipper is finally over Wendy, get like a Wendy centric episode without Dipper pining over her.
Pining.
Oh.
Damn it.
But yeah, Wendy's so amazing too.
Yeah.
That is, more episodes of Wendy kicking ass. There, that's mine. Done.
There you go. Well, the thing is, that's kind of mine. So you're out of luck there.
Wait, I thought yours was something else.
That's season three.
Yeah, and with episodes of Wendy kicking ass.
Darn it.
You know what? Let's kind of slingshot here because, you know, this kind of gives me some headspace here. You know what, you know, we all watched earlier on, guys? I think we all watched Buffy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
sure.
Wendy fighting monsters.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my gosh, Mabel, Vampire Hunter.
Oh, Mabel can join along too. She probably has like all sorts of really awesome inventions. Okay. Oh, Mabel could be like Q.
But though, a spoiler alert for the series finale of Buffy, every girl who could be a Slayer will be a Slayer, so they could both be Slayers.
Yay. Okay,
so I have to say, that would be a lot of fun if Wendy's, you know, like, lurking in the background doing, like, do you guys remember Community with the whole episode with Abed, who does not appear in the episode except in the background, where he has this whole plot line where he helps a woman deliver a baby and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's what Wendy could be doing in the background. And so she's doing all this stuff, and like, there's, she's finding more cryptids and fighting stuff, and is she aware of the journal?
Wendy?
Yeah.
She knows Dipper uses it.
Okay. What if she's like creating her own, and like, they're both working towards a big bad that it's still Belcipher.
Now I'm just imagining randomly in a separate episode where they're doing their own thing, and Wendy crashing it in through a window, finding like a werewolf or something, and like she's there punching at it, going, "Stop mauling people, you dink!" And and the fight continues outside the room, and we hear crashes and no other explanation.
"Stop mauling people, you dink" is a great line,
right?
Can you totally imagine Wendy just, you know, it's serious fight time. The flannel shirt gets wrapped around the waist and there's an axe.
Yes.
Yeah. Wendy Action Woman.
So what you're proposing is a straight up Wendy spinoff series.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
Wendy versus the forces of evil.
I love it. Let's do it.
Because I think part of the trick is that I don't think she's like clued into the bizarre, at least not early on, right?
Yeah, no, she, after the ghost episode, she decides she has to go back home and rethink everything.
Yeah, but hey, in this change, she decides, you know what? Not today. And so that's the thing I'm working on here, because Lord knows I wanted to have just more happy, positive Mabel stuff everywhere.
I mean,
but you know what? Wendy kicking ass.
That's pretty
up there. I'll take that. All right. Yeah. Any other thoughts on that, guys?
No, I think I'm done.
I'm all for women-led television shows and fiction in general. So
heck yeah. Well, you know, in this Wendy spinoff series, we can totally have Mabel providing the home punk aesthetic as well. Just imagine a squirt gun that takes care of vampires, but also has little lights in it, so it looks like it's like shooting rainbows.
What if it had glitter in the holy water?
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Oh, you are Mabel. Let's deal with that.
Wait.
There is less glitter in my life.
Like, hey there, vampire. Want some Mabel juice? It's like, okay.
Why is it so gritty?
It's holy water with glitter.
Sparkles. Oh.
Well, then, then, isn't it hilarious? We all know vampires glitter.
That's
where she got the idea.
Yes.
And then, you know, you have a big pile of dust, potentially. But on the other hand, it's glitter dust, and you can use it as makeup afterwards.
Yay.
For that smoky eye.
And she never misses a scrapbook opportunity.
Makeover.
Yeah.
We're going to be linking to so much stuff, guys. Like, it's going to be so sad.
Anyway, is okay. That everybody?
Yes. So, hey, is it time for a game?
A game.
Yes, it is.
Mabel loves games.
I love games. What game shall we play tonight?
And a child shall lead them.
I was just thinking that. Maybe
that's
not
the
that.
Series. Someday we'll use that one.
I was just thinking, actually, we could have used that with Bill and Ted and could have made Deacon the main character.
Damn.
And we didn't fucking do it.
Let's do a special appearance by.
Ooh.
What happens if a meta character, like Spike or Kirk or Mulder, or someone from, like, another series appears.
Right away, how about we say no to X-Files characters?
Mulligans,
just because
yeah.
I figure that's punting it. We don't want to do that.
We kind of get at their what's the word?
Pastiches.
Yeah, in the series with the FBI agents.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm. They already did it for us, so we can't tonight. Okay. So who wants to go first?
I've got another obvious one.
Go okay. for it.
Which I mentioned earlier of Supernatural.
Sam and Dean Winchester come driving into Gravity Falls. Go.
And immediately, Mabel and Wendy die. What?
Oh, God damn it.
All right, go on, Pip.
I mean, if it's from this, if we're Gravity Falls and Supernatural, sadly, yes. But since this is going to be Supernatural and Gravity Falls, where love wins, then Sam and Dean roll up. They've heard about this place. You know, it's got really cryptic messages about it. It's weird. There are no answers, but there is this little kid who seems like, who thinks he knows everything.
He won't stop clicking his pen.
Keeps trying to help. Grunkle Stan is trolling them the whole fucking time.
Ha.
There's this girl with a pig, and Sam's trying to be real nice about it. Dean is having none of it.
She has been staring at him.
Oh, God.
Creepy.
She just wants to touch his hair.
Or make them sing in a boy band.
Yes. She wants Dean to sing in the boy band, wants to touch Sam's hair, wants to know why both of them have such sad eyes.
Jesus has stolen the car, but not...
He is trying to fix it.
And meanwhile, Wendy's like, hey, and trying to be, like, too cool. Because she's also too young for them, but she's in that teenager stage where she would totally be, like, just coincidentally be leaning outside a building near them, ignoring them very pointedly.
It'd be her Dipper moment.
It would.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And then maybe they solve a mystery. Maybe not any of the important ones, but yeah.
And hopefully Angel, the Holes and Demons did not get involved.
They totally did. That's what Bill Cipher really is.
Oh, Cassius is still alive for some reason. Just sort of staring at everything, like, too pointedly. Like, he knows something and probably shouldn't tell people, but he's probably going to before the night's over.
As per usual.
As per usual.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's me.
That's good.
Okay. Who's next?
Here's the problem with taking a character, a meta character, and popping up in weird places. Is that the deal with meta characters, as I define them, is that they switch genres around them. You know, if Sherlock Holmes appears in a story suddenly, guess it's probably going to be a fucking mystery now. If Buffy showed-
Wait, wasn't Sherlock Holmes in an episode of Gravity Falls?
Yes, he was. Have you seen-
Oh shit, you're right.
Have you seen the size of my mouth?
Okay, Sherlock Holmes did appear in an episode of Gravity Falls. However-
Ha
ha. Damn it. Okay. All right, fine.
And actually, it was a mystery.
We're going to go oddball. I have been rewatching Glee.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
I'm not either. There is a... Presumably... I mean, this is Gravity Falls. Presumably, there is a school there that is out of session. But I'm saying that that school has a show choir.
Robbie is in it.
Yes, Robbie is in it. Oh, my God.
Is Mabel going to be a ringer?
No, Mabel's not in this. No. Listen.
She doesn't go to their school.
She doesn't go to the school. However, we already know from Glee lore that during the summer months, singers or groups tend to get together and do performances at local amusement parks and similar things. Keeps you in practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my meta thing, I have decided that the entirety... of the school from McKinley High, the New Directions, are taking a bus trip across the country. They're trying to go to California. They're doing this as a one-month trip where they sing at various locations to try to drum up money for the new year, and they end up in Gravity Falls because they are going to sing, and this was a surprise to everyone, at the Mystery Shack.
Of course. Grunkle Stan forged the paperwork.
Has anyone actually heard of this place?
Yeah, and then, of course, there's a nice mystery involved. Like, why did Grunkle Stan do this?
He did it for the kids.
And then you have to start getting in the weird Glee thing where mysteriously, no matter where they are, their production values just go through the roof. Their sound always is great. And Mabel once again wants to collect them. You know, this takes in several elements, frankly, from Pip's supernatural one. Wendy's off on the side and so on. But I would like to have a mystery around the why they're there. Make it a musical episode. What do all of our characters sing? What songs do Mabel and Dipper sing?
Don't Stop Never Believing. Or whatever it is from the karaoke episode.
Okay.
Don't Start Not Believing.
Don't Start Not Believing.
That's right, they did a karaoke episode. This writes itself.
So, Al, do you have one?
Yeah, well, you guys kind of mentioned a certain show earlier as well.
Uh-huh.
It got me thinking. In what state is Greendale located?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
Brian, we're just ruining your life.
Greendale, I believe, is it's based on Dan Harmon's real experience, so it's in some weird state, but it looks a lot like California.
It looks West Coast. Yes. That's good enough for us.
But I don't think it actually is West Coast, because it's supposed to be...
It's supposed to be where Dan Harmon went.
It's in Colorado.
Oh, there you go. Ooh, that's awfully close to wherever it is.
No.
It's not.
Really.
Colorado's not near Washington? I don't know. Or Oregon?
No.
I don't know.
No, Colorado's near me.
It is not, is it really?
It is.
Holy shit.
Troy and Abed in the Northwest.
Yes.
Okay, you know what? It'll still work. They're going to Greendale's sister college.
Nice.
We have a sister. We have a sister college? We do. It's in Oregon. And a study group has to go there and solve the problem that their dean is having.
They're quote-unquote foreign exchange students.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Like, how are we foreign? We're still in the United States. But it's Oregon. And that place is weird. I hear that they've got trees that stay green the entire year. That's weird.
Okay, okay. So the Greendale gang goes on some absurd adventure.
Yep. And just their, Jeff's refusal to believe to that actual cryptid stuff is going on. It's just some stuff that people like me make up to money from people like that. And points at, Toby Determined.
Oh my god, no. Jeff and Grunkle Stan would try to out-shyster each other. Be amazing.
Oh yeah, they would. Oh, like just Jeff going on full evil lawyer.
I'm just imagining Troy and Abed hanging out with Dipper and Mabel.
Yeah, they would love Mabel.
Yes, they would.
Oh my god, they could have a special episode of Troy and Abed in the morning, and there's like Waddles.
They would really love Waddles.
You're a pig.
Tell us about that.
And then Mabel's like standing behind Waddles and holding it up in front of her face. And
making voices.
Yes.
Dipper and Annie would make lists and plans and all that.
Nice.
And of course, there's Britta would try to fit in with it's Wendy.
Oh my god, yes. She's trying to fit in with all the teenagers.
Oh no.
And they're giving her such side eye. Like they keep trying to ditch her and she keeps trying to say how, oh no, it's what the cool kids are doing. It's just a game. We're all playing it.
Like, we're not playing it, dude. And then when the cryptid shows up, Abed's like, this is everything I ever dreamed of.
Okay. So any other thoughts about Greendale, guys? Because I think I'll just do a last minute one here, because I was thinking about Greendale myself originally.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about it earlier as well. The kids from Stranger Things go on a field trip to Oregon.
Oh, yeah, that makes some sense.
Because you'd think that, you know, it'd be like a really pleasant field trip. It's like all this weird crap's been happening in Hawkins. So let's leave for a while. And then they go and visit a nice quiet town in Oregon. And they were thinking that's that. And the weird stuff starts happening again. And Steve has hair.
Yeah.
This means nothing to me.
Oh, oh Pip.
Oh, they love it back on Earth, Pippin.
Oh, yeah, they're loving this back on Earth.
But, because I'm just imagining that the kids from Stranger Things, once they understand that there is a greater mystery going on, they'll go full tilt into it. They are believers.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they'll probably...
D&D games with a...
Dipper, yeah.
Dipper gets obsessed with a D&D game.
Yeah.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, Dipper.
But yeah, no, Dipper totally joins their D&D game. It's great. And then monsters show up, and it's unfortunate for everybody. But Mabel makes everybody happy, so yay. Oh, Mabel and Eleven can go and hang out together. It'll be great.
And no one has to explain that they're from the 80s, and this is like the early 2010s.
Nah, it's Oregon.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I didn't mean that. Oregon's awesome. The dreams of the 90s are alive. And Portland.
Portlandia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that, guys? Or are we good for the evening?
I think we're good for the evening. Stressing again, the listener should definitely watch Gravity Falls. It's great.
It's not a huge time commitment.
It isn't, and you know what? There's a lot to learn and to steal from it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what writing is? Stealing.
Huh. Woo!
Creatively stealing. Come on, give us some credit.
Slightly stealing.
All right. Any other thoughts, Pip, Al, myself?
No, I'm good.
I think we should all aspire to be Mabel Pines.
Agreed.
We should all be as hopeful as Mabel.
God, I'm legit going to get that tattoo now.
Do it, man. Do it.
I just need to figure out where.
If only because it'll force Alex to get one of his own.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex can do what he wants with his body.
That he totally. All right. So, Pip,
yeah.
can you take us out of the episode of Gravity Falls?
All right. I surely can. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred. Or send an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Creighton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ash DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoryissacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. And please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. See you next time when we'll talk about an untitled story by me.
Yay!
Until then, we're No Story is Sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Pippin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Brendan.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.